So those of you who don't know, my name is Don Crawford, and I have the privilege of serving on the elders team here at Lambrick. But this morning, I also have the privilege of introducing our speaker today. And you're kind of wondering, well, what? You know, it's in the bulletin, Jen speaking, Simon introduced it. But we have a little twist for you today. And so I want to give you a little bit of 30 seconds, 45 seconds background. And for those of you who don't know about this. So I'm going to say the first week of January last year, 2016, I saw something on Instagram. Like, I am low social media thing. So, like, I don't do Instagram. I quit Facebook 6 years ago. But I saw this on there, and it was a picture of a backyard with about 4 feet of snow. And it was Jen's Instagram, and it just said, "Really?" And so I thought, I wonder what Jen is doing these days. And because I lost track of her, we've been friends for a number of years. And so I found my way to track her down through some combination of Facebook and social media and Messenger. And here's what I said. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. JT, it's the West Coast calling. Okay, the left coast. How are you? It appears that life is good there in Guelph. Yeah, she's back there. But if you get a minute, would you drop me a line? I use my email address. I quit Faceplant about 5 years ago, so mostly I need you to use email to get back to me. And so she did. And Jen, if you know Jen, her sense of humor, she's like, "Don, don't send cryptic messages to me." And I said, "Well, I just want to talk to you." Anyhow, long story short, we set up a Skype call because at that point in time, Lambrick had a very real need in children's ministry. And Amy Edmena was graduating from UVic and heading for China. So I just said, "Jen, is there any chance that you would be interested in coming back west where we don't have as much snow?" Although she had on Instagram these last couple of weeks, really, again. In helping us out. And we have a window here, and we'd like to have a conversation about that. What Jen said was, "You are not going to believe this." And she walked me through her living and working and ministry situation right at that point in time. And she was living with her folks. Her dad was retiring, heading even farther east. And Jen's like, "I'm going to be homeless." And I said, "Well, we could maybe do something about that." So long story short again, Jen arrived here in June as the coordinator of our kids' ministry. But also very much pursuing a missions calling, and she's going to tell us a little bit more about that today. So over these last months, while she's been here, what did you get here in June? And been a busy girl, and to Chile once, and to back east for missions orientation with ABWE, and she will tell you what that means. Scott's calling it ABWE. Advancing, what is it? Across Borders World Evangelization. There you go. And, well, the old name, I know the old name, Association of Baptists for World Evangelization. So this is the cool new name. Anyways, Jen's been working with them and working with us and working with our missions engagement vision team. Just about how does her status work as she heads for Chile and she's raising her support and getting all those important ducks in a row. And so the missions engagement team had a proposal to the elders, which we dealt with at our offsite last Saturday, that we affirm and accept Jen as a missionary of Lambrick Park Church. So we are her home church, sending church, and that is a great thing. It's great for Jen, it's good for us, it's good for ABWE, it's good for Chile, and good for her parents and people who know and love her and her supporters. So we wanted you to know that is fresh. The ink is almost dry on that decision. And so this is great timing for Jen to come and speak to us this morning. So Jen, why don't you come on up? And I'm going to pray for Jen, and then we're going to have a little bit of fun first, I think. Right? All right, let's pray. Father, we're amazed sometimes at how you work, even though we shouldn't be. And we are amazed sometimes how you work through the challenges and the tough times in life. And you bring good things, new things out of situations where we would never have dreamed it. And so as Jen and I talked on that Skype call back in January last year, when we finished kind of comparing notes, and literally just the two of us sat there for a couple minutes in silence, realizing that there was some real potential here for a partnership, you were at work way ahead of us, way ahead of Jen, way ahead of the snow, way ahead of us, way ahead of the West Coast, way ahead of everything. And we're grateful for that. So we want to pray for Jen this morning as she talks a little bit about kids ministry and a little bit about Chile and her future there. And just give us attentive hearts and minds to hear what she's saying this morning. Amen.
Amen. Okay. Whoa. Is that really loud? It feels really loud. Okay. All right. Morning, everybody. How you doing? Good. Awesome. We're going to have a great morning this morning. It's going to be a fun, packed 30-ish minutes. And as it says in your bulletin, if you read that, we are stepping out of the table series. We are not stepping out of encountering Jesus. Hopefully that's still going to happen this morning. But we are going to stay in the book of Luke and just look at one verse. We sang it earlier. But we're going to split our time into two parts. Okay, so the first part is going to be about kids ministry and what's happening here in our kids ministry and how God is working, and we've got some really fun stuff planned, and hopefully I won't cry when I tell you some of the stories because they always make me cry. Good cry, though, most of the time. And the second part, I'm going to talk to you about Chile and what that's looking like and how God called me there and all that great stuff. So it's going to be a whirlwind. I'm going to talk fast, so you need to listen fast, and we're going to have a great time, okay? Okay, great. And I'm used to teaching kids, so just try not to wrestle, because that's disruptive. But you can talk back at me. It's totally cool. When I have to stop them from wrestling, then it's like, oh, guys, you ruined the moment. Okay, so a few months ago, I was sitting having tea with a lady from our church, and we were talking about the extremes that she sees and has experienced in the church world. That some Christians seem to focus solely on head knowledge, having information about who God is, about the Bible. Some Christians seem to focus on feelings and experience. And my comment was, we need to find a way to blend those two. And when I think about Luke 10:27, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. We're not called to just love God with our minds. We are not just called to love God with our hearts. We are not just called to love God with our strength. We are called to love God as whole people. And we need to be striving for balance when we think about growing as followers of Christ. And that's what we want for our kids. That's what we want them to have in their homes and each Sunday morning when they walk through the doors. We want them to gain knowledge of who God is, of his word, of who we are in light of God's word, but we also want them to experience the work of the Holy Spirit in their own lives. So each Sunday we try to create experiences that will allow the opportunity for growth in both knowledge and experience. So you guys are going to get to do some of what we do in kids ministry on a Sunday morning. Are you ready? All right. So we're gonna take part in our regular Sunday morning routine in kids ministry. The only difference is you don't have to raise your hand to answer. You can just call out answers when we get to that part, okay? I won't make you raise your hands. So the first part of our morning, when we get to our kids into the cafe, I'm talking about our big kids this morning, not so much our little kids, but they also have amazing times together. Our big kids, that's kindergarten to grade 5, get into the cafe. We usually line them up along the bookshelves and count them off into groups because we have some kind of activity that we're going to do. Sometimes it's a review of previous weeks. Sometimes it's an introduction to the theme. Sometimes I know you guys can hear us in here. Sometimes it's quiet. Sometimes it's not. So we are going to do a review activity this morning. Our kids have, up until 3 weeks ago, been working through the entire Old Testament. Okay? 20 weeks, 20 lessons, Genesis to Malachi. We didn't really go to Malachi, but it's in there. And so I have asked a whole bunch of people to come on up, 15 of you, I hope. If I've called you, come. Now, these people are not in charge of what's about to happen here. They are coming to help, but you are also involved. Come on up. You can all line up there. And actually, can you give one to everybody? Thanks. So what we're going to do, our kids did this 2 weeks ago, by the way, and they got it right. So this is your test. We are going to take our 15 of the 20 lessons that we've learned. I've printed out the titles. We are going to put them in order, chronological order of how they happen, okay? Starting in Genesis and working our way through. We need four more people. Four more people. Come on up. Jocelyn. Helen. Who else? Therese, one more. Come on, where are the men? Yeah, all right, good. We're covered. Now, here's the kicker, everybody. Our kids had 5 minutes to do this. You're grown-ups. You get less time. You're going to have 4 minutes, okay? Help each other out. We need to put these in order. Oh, look at that. I'm going to give you a hint. The first one is in the right place. I'm setting a timer. You can yell out instructions. It's going to be total mayhem, and it's going to be great. Oh, look at you guys. Oh, I just put in 4 hours. That's not right. 4 minutes. Okay, go. 4 minutes. 4 minutes. Keep coming. Tim. Oh, I need to stop. You guys got to do this without me. Okay, what's next? Where's Don? They're calling for you, man. Keep moving. You have 3 minutes. You're running out of time. Let me see. Not quite right. You're so close, you guys. You're so close. Yes. You did it with a minute and a half to spare. All right, so just stay here for a second. Our kids have learned this from we started in September. God is eternal. God made everything. God made people. Sin entered the world. What is sin? We'll talk about that in a second. People were sent out of the garden, Noah and the flood. God called Abraham. Abraham had a son, Moses and the burning bush, the plagues and the Passover, the Exodus, the Ten Commandments, the tabernacle, which, by the way, we built out of Lego, and it was amazing. The bronze serpent and the reign of King David, Genesis to Malachi. Very good. Thanks, guys. You can have a seat. So our kindergarten to grade five kids were put into three groups 2 weeks ago and given 5 minutes to do this. One of our groups had it absolutely perfect, and the other two groups had the tabernacle and the bronze serpent out of order, which I thought was hilarious because we had just done those lessons. Those were the closest lessons, but whatever. We had a great time with that. All right, that's what we've been learning in kids' ministry. Now, once that's done, we sit down. After a few minutes of crazy, we have a seat, we take a deep breath, I pray for us, and then before we jump into that morning's lesson, we do some Bible trivia. This still goes into the knowledge portion of what we're trying to do. So, we're going to do our regular trivia that we do on Sunday mornings with our kids, okay? You don't have to raise your hand, just call out your responses. All right, the Bible is made up of two parts. What are they? The Old Testament and the New Testament. What's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament? It's longer. Thank you, Don. There are children like that in the cafe. It's older as well. What's the big difference? Jesus. The Old Testament is before Jesus. The New Testament is when Jesus came and on. Awesome. How many books are there in the Bible? 66. How many are in the Old Testament? 39. How many are in the New Testament? The rest of them. 27. Yep. Okay, the first five books of the Old Testament are, say them together, Genesis. Those five books have a special name. What is the name? The Pentateuch, we remember that because penta means five and tuch is what you put on your head in the winter. Pentateuch, okay? We've just moved into the New Testament, so now we're adding a little bit of New Testament stuff. So the first four books of the New Testament are? They have a name. The Gospels. What does the word gospel mean? Who is our good news? Jesus. Awesome. Good job. That's what we start our morning with every Sunday morning. And they're good. It's awesome. All right, so at this point, we have engaged our kids, usually their bodies. We've engaged their minds. How do we engage their spirit, their soul, their emotions? How do we give them experiences of connecting with and knowing the work of the Holy Spirit? To be honest, this is the really hard part. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it's a big old flop. And that's okay. We just give it a try. In every church that I've worked at, I've tried to give kids the chance to experience the work of the Holy Spirit through corporate prayer. And in one church I worked at, like, every kid wanted to pray every Sunday morning. So I planned for like a 15-minute prayer meeting in the middle of big group time. In this church, the kids looked at me like I had four heads. No way, lady. I am not praying in front of all these people. I'm pretty sure they just didn't want other people to hear them. Not that they didn't want to pray. But about 6 weeks ago, I was doing my regular, is there anything that we should be praying about this morning? And I got a few requests. And then I said, would anybody like to pray? And I got the blank stare. Like I always get. And off the top of my head, I remembered when I taught grade six in a Christian private school for 1 year. That was not my favorite year. However, I had two students from Korea in my class. And we did devotions together every morning from South Korea. I think that's obvious, but... they shared that in their churches, the whole congregation would stand up and they would pray out loud at the same time together. So I told our group about that and I said, I think we should try that this morning. Isn't it cool that a room can be filled with people all praying out loud to God at the same time. And he is so powerful that he can hear every single one of us. He can hear and he can meet every single one of us. So we're going to do it. We're going to count to three and we're going to all pray out loud. Okay, guys? And they were like, okay, sure. But they stood up and they prayed. And besides one little girl in the front row who said meow, meow, meow over and over again the whole time, besides that, everyone was praying. And it was so beautiful to see our kids praying. And I actually had to like give them an extended time because it just kept going and it was beautiful. And now when I say, okay guys, it's time to pray, inevitably somebody says, are we going to do it like they do in Korea? Yes, we are. That's how we do it now. So we've been doing this for a few weeks. 2 weeks ago, Jeff and Rosemary Gaunt came in and they had a presentation about Ethiopia and they told us about their upcoming trip and they had pictures from their last trip and it was awesome. Our kids asked so many questions and it was great. And before they left, I said, okay guys, let's pray for Jeff and Rosemary before they leave. And I'd never done this before, but I just thought, let's give it a shot. Let's see how it goes. Jeff and Rosemary knelt on the ground, and our kids gathered around them and laid hands on them, and they all prayed out loud at the same time, like we always do now. And I was a blubbering mess, and Jeff and Rosemary were just like, what is happening? This is so cool. And our kids are engaging in prayer and engaging with the work of the Holy Spirit in our big group time each week. And I absolutely love it. So now we've engaged their hearts. We've engaged their minds. But the verse doesn't end there. It says the second part is that we should love our neighbors as ourselves. This is something that generally happens outside of the church walls. And we want to give them ideas of how they can do that. But one of the ways that our whole kids ministry participates in loving our neighbors as ourselves is that we have sponsored kids through Food for the Hungry. And we've had three kids this year. Two are graduating today. And one is a new little boy. And we take up an offering every week. We talk about the differences between living in Canada and living in Ethiopia, getting to go to school, being able to access a doctor, all of those things. And our kids have written letters to our kids. They have prayed for them on a regular basis. And we talked to them about the idea that they can take that and they can expand that to include the neighbors that are right beside them in school, in sports, at home. What? Be nice to your family? Yep, that too. So we have 1 hour and 10 minutes on a Sunday morning with the kids in this church. 1 hour and 10 minutes out of 168 hours that are in each week. It is not enough time. It is never enough time. And that's why we need you. That's why we need the church. That's why we need families to show our kids authentic, whole life faith. So church, please pray for us as leaders that we would create experiences and share knowledge in a way that sticks and helps our kids to engage in their own faith. Please pray for our parents, our grandparents, our aunts and uncles, that they would live out their faith, that they would live out Luke 10:27 in a way that models for our kids what dynamic growing faith looks like. Okay, that was 2 minutes longer than it was supposed to be. Just before we transition to the second half of our talk this morning, I'm going to invite Jocelyn to come up. And Jocelyn is going to pray for our kids and our kids' ministry and our families. I think it's still on, but I don't know.
Check.
It's on.
Lord God, thank you for this time that we have together as a family. Thank you for Jen, and your using her to speak to our children, to love them, and to work with us as adults and parents and teachers and support staff to help build faith into our children. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would move in this place. We pray that you would continue to do a good work with our kids. We thank you for giving us children and for using them as examples in Scripture of how to live. And we pray that as teachers and as parents and just adults that interact with them as they brush by us on a Sunday morning, that they would teach us, Lord, what it means to be a child, and that we would slow down to see what it is that they offer through their conversation and through their kindness and even through their arguing, that we could learn from what's happening with them how you see us. Jesus, we pray for this upcoming season, and we ask that you would continue to guide us as educators and as lovers of these children, that you would be with us throughout the week, teaching us and growing us through your Holy Spirit, that you would empower us to come on a Sunday morning to share in our brokenness what it means to love Jesus, and that we would learn in community with our little ones. We just pray that you would just allow your Spirit to rest here. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy. We thank you for children and their laughter and their quirkiness that make the rest of us laugh too. God, you are good, and you are so much bigger than all we could ask or imagine, and we just leave all these things in your hands. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, time to switch gears. Kids ministry is done. Now we're going to talk about missions. So this verse in Luke still applies to us as we look at missions. When we think of the word neighbor, often we think about our literal neighbors. My neighbors right over there, I think they're scared of me. They like run away when they see me coming. I'm not quite sure why. I've never yelled or thrown things or anything. But we think about our literal neighbors. But the world is a small place now. And with technology and different ways that we travel, we can get around the world pretty darn quickly. And so when we think about our neighbors, we can think about our global neighbors. And for the last 20 years, I have considered Central and South Americans to be my neighbors. I've done short-term trips to Brazil, Dominican Republic, Mexico, Nicaragua, and Colombia. And each time, I have wanted to go long-term, to share the love of Christ with them, to do life with them. But until this past year, that door was firmly closed. And that's okay. I got the privilege of ministering to families in churches and in a pregnancy care center in Ontario, from one coast to the other of this beautiful country that we live in. But when the door opened, I wondered, where is God sending me? Is he sending me back to one of the places I've already been? Was there somewhere else he wanted me to go? And in July, I was down in Pennsylvania, which is where the international head office is for ABWE. As Scott says, Abway. Across borders for world evangelism. I was down there doing the final portion of my application process to become a long-term missionary. And one of the things that they really would like is that by the end of that time, when you are appointed as a missionary, you know where you're going. There were 27 of us in our class, and 19 were going to Togo, West Africa. And the rest of us were like, we're not going to Africa. Sorry. But most of the rest of us are heading to Central or South America. And while I was there, I heard about this place, Iquique, Chile. There it is. Where a small team was already in place. They were church planting. They were doing personal evangelism and discipleship. And they were getting ready to open the country's very first crisis pregnancy center. And my heart was immediately drawn there. But I didn't want to just make an emotional decision. Oh, this sounds good. Chile's nice. there's the ocean. Yeah, let's go there. And so I asked God to give some really clear confirmation. I didn't care if it was like through a person or through scripture or what. I wanted confirmation. So that night in the hotel, I called my parents, I called my sister. I sent an email to Scott, who'd been on the job for like 2 weeks, and I'm sure he was wondering what he was getting himself into, getting crazy emails from me in the middle of the night. But that's okay. And I asked them to pray. Pray for confirmation. And later that night, I guess the next night, I was reading in Isaiah 41, and I read these words. You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its remotest parts and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not rejected you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And when I read the words, do not anxiously look about you, something in my heart clicked into place. And I knew I wasn't making an emotional decision. I was being led by the Spirit of God to the place where He would have me live and minister. And that was it. Without ever having stepped foot in the country of Chile, I signed on the dotted line to go and to moving to this city. Now, can I tell you a little bit about Iquique? Is that all right? Okay. Trying to keep it 11:30. We can do it. Okay, Chile. Iquique is in the northern part of Chile. It actually used to be part of Peru. And as you can probably tell, on the west side is ocean. On the east side is desert. Iquique is in the driest desert in the world. About 300 kilometers from here is where they test out all the stuff that they send to Mars. The Mars vehicles, because it's the closest place where to what it's like in Mars. There is no liquid. It rains once every 2 years for about 10 minutes, and that's it. So it looks really lovely in this picture. Up close and personal, it's maybe not quite so pretty. There's a lot of dust and a lot of dog poop. And a lot of garbage, but it is an amazing little city. 250,000 people live there. It's a port city, so most of the people who live there are either very rich or they work at the docks or in fisheries or in mining. Those are the three kind of main industries in the area. And Iquique's had a hard time these last couple years. There's been a downturn in the economy, and there are a lot of men and women in this city who are living in abject poverty. They struggle to keep a roof over their kids' heads and food in their bellies. And and they have no hope. In this city of 250,000 people, there are three churches, three evangelical churches. Not one of them is bigger than 200 people. All of them have grown up, well, 95% of them have grown up in the Catholic Church. But in Iquique, there is a lot of spirit worship that has been mixed in with Catholicism. Most of the men and women in this city could tell you a lot about Mary, but I don't think they could tell you anything about Jesus. They have no hope. They need Jesus. And the team that's already in place, one couple who are empty nesters, and then two families, have been living there anywhere from a year to 9 years. They are working hard to reach this city with the good news of Jesus. Not only through church planting, which they have planted one church which is being handed off. It actually has been handed off to national leadership, and now they're getting ready to plant another church in a different area of the city, but also through the country's very first crisis pregnancy center. In Chile, at the moment, abortion is illegal, and poverty, drug addiction, abuse are all big issues. And women who find themselves pregnant, some married, some unmarried, find themselves in a very difficult position. You see, you would think that in a Catholic city, or in a Catholic country, the sanctity of life would be something that is just ingrained. But it's not, because they're terrified. So they go and have a back alley abortion, and then they get caught, and they get sent to jail for 3 to 5 years. They can't go to their doctor, they can't go to a counselor, they can't go to social services, because all of those agencies are government agencies, and they are required to report. A crisis pregnancy center is not a government agency. So we can be a safe place, a safe haven. We can offer the good news of Jesus. We can offer hope for the hopeless to these women. And hopefully, as news spreads, we can get to them before they make traumatic, life-altering decisions. So as you can probably tell, my heart is a little bit torn every single day. It's here with our kids, and it's in South America. The pregnancy center opened in October. Recently, the very first Florese baby was born. I think we have a picture. Florese is the name of the crisis pregnancy center. In Spanish, it means blossom or bloom. This is Fenrir. His mom wrote and said, "Florese friends, I want to tell you that my baby was born today at 5:45 a.m., and we are both doing well and very thankful for what you were and are in our lives. Now my son will have knowledge of the faith, which I so wanted to share with him. I love you all very much." That's why I'm going to Chile. I almost made it without crying. The 2 years before I came here, I worked at a crisis pregnancy center in Ontario. Actually, a pregnancy care center, so the women had already decided to keep their babies, and they lived with us, and we helped them to develop the skills they needed to parent successfully. Or we helped them to go through the process of adoption if they knew that they couldn't raise their kids. And the whole time that I worked there, I thought, why, Lord? Why am I here? I do kids ministry. Not this. I like the babies, not the mothers. Which is not true, not true. I like the mothers. But why? This is so far outside of what I've studied and what I've done. And looking back now, I can see how clearly God led through really difficult things that brought me to Ontario to give me that experience so that I could go and be a part of this team and helping to minister to moms and babies in Chile. So Val has been asked to come up and pray for me, and then we're going to close the service in song. It's a new song that we've been learning. It's called Let There Be Light, and I asked if we could sing this song because I think it really clearly kind of sums up my heart, and I hope our hearts. Jesus is the only hope for us. He is the only hope for our kids, for our neighbors here in Victoria, and for our neighbors around the world. We need the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us, that people would have their eyes opened to the good news of Jesus, that our hearts would continuously be purified through the work of the Holy Spirit, that we would be kingdom people living kingdom lives for the sake of the world. So my sharing about Chile isn't just about me. It's about what God has put in your heart and what God has done in your life and who God has put in your path. Who are your neighbors? Who is God calling you to? So let's pray and then let's sing.
Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for Jan, Lord. Thank you so much for her story that she's shared with us this morning. And we just are just amazed at this miracle that you have wrought in her life and this call you have placed on her life. Thank you for her ministry here amongst us. And we just ask especially that you continue to bless her as she continues on this journey to prepare for Chile and then eventually when she goes, Lord. We just ask that during this period of transition, this preparation time, that you be with her, Lord. Meet her every need. Meet her financial needs, Lord. Meet her health needs. And just in every way, just go before her and walk beside her. We ask, too, Lord, that we be faithful, that we uphold Jan in our prayers and in our thoughts, and that we come alongside her in practical ways to do what we can to support her as she moves into this ministry. We just commit her to you completely and entirely. We ask, Lord, that you bless her in an amazing way and that you make her a blessing to us as she prepares, but also to the people that she'll be involved with when she gets to this country that she's developed this great love for. Thank you, Lord.